Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would please, and Nehemiah chapter 3, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11, reading verses 1 and 2, and then chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Our faith is very important, and I believe that when we have a strong faith, we are more willing to achieve more for our Lord. And let me read to you from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. And it's good to have a good report when it comes to our Lord. And then chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask as we come together once again that these words that are said today could be of encouragement to those that are watching, to those that are listening. And Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Hopefully you are already in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 3. The book of Nehemiah continues the story of the Jews who returned to Judah after the Babylonian captivity. And quoting from the Bible Reader's Companion, quote, Nehemiah has proven one of the favorite Bible books, for it reminds us of the impact a single committed individual can have on a society. Nehemiah surely is one of the most steadfast and admirable of Old Testament heroes, unquote. We hear a lot today about heroes, first responders, and those on the front line. And indeed, they are doing great work. But we find that there are Bible heroes also, and we're so glad for those who have, through the years, been faithful to the cause of our Lord. This book takes its name, of course, from the main character, the determined Jewish patriot, Nehemiah. He asked and was allowed to go to Jerusalem with the express task of rebuilding the walls and installing new gates. Lawrence O. Richards writes, he arrived in Judah about 446 B.C., nearly 100 years after the first group of exiles had returned. He awakened the enthusiasm of the Jews for the project, firmly resisted the opposition of neighboring peoples, and saw the city once again surrounded by the walls. In the ancient world, city walls suggested significance as well as security. With the help of Ezra, Nehemiah also enforced the Old Testament laws, which the community was again ignoring, unquote. He went with a purpose, and we'll see that shortly. I personally believe that the greatest thought or the greatest verse of the book of Nehemiah is found in chapter 4, verse 6a, where it says, so built we the wall. The word we is very important. Every pastor will tell you that without good, faithful, and God-honoring people, the ministry would never flourish. Warren Wiersbe puts it this way, quote, Nehemiah faced a great challenge, and he had great faith in a great God. But he would have accomplished very little had there not been great dedication on the part of the people who helped him rebuild the wall, unquote. He needed people to help him, just like every pastor needs good, godly people. The British humorist Jerome K. Jerome said, "I like work. It fascinates me. I can sit and watch it for hours." Now, I've heard it credited to others, but I agree. There is something exciting about watching construction. But it's one thing to watch, but it's another thing to get your hands dirty, to get involved. The Bible Exposition Commentary, when it comes to the work of the Lord, there is no place for spectators or self-appointed advisors and critics, but there is always room for workers. And in this case, wall-to-wall workers. Point number one, the purpose of the work. The purpose of the work. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now, if I mispronounce some of these Jewish names, please forgive me. If you were here, I'd let you do it. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Milah. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hanel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zechar, the son of Amri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hananiah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. But notice verse 5. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. One reading, verses 1 through verse 32, sees the unity of purpose. And the purpose of the work was specific. They had a common purpose and they had a commitment. The walls had to be built. Now, I don't know how strong they were or how secure they were, but apparently they were much more than what they had been. A common purpose is needed in today's Christian family to get the job done. And the job is not done. We have much still to do if we're going to see, may I say this, revival in America. And it is possible, but revival must begin with God's people at God's house. In verse 1, we find the sheep gate. The gates and various features of the wall surrounding Jerusalem are given names, much as we name our city streets. If you come into Sterling Heights, there are many main roads, and then there are some smaller arteries that bring you into the city. But they all have names, and when we say the name, well, we understand where something is located. And so names of the gates were just that, and we'll discuss the names of the gates, time permitting, later in the message here. The list begins at the northeast section of Jerusalem's walls and makes a circuit, concluding at verse 32 at the same corner. And from reading the book of Nehemiah, we find that Nehemiah was concerned with only one thing, the glory of God. He saw the destroyed walls and the burned gates as being something that detracted and was an embarrassment, in fact, and called a reproach. We see this in chapter 2, verse 17, and let me read that for you, chapter 2, verse 17. "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let's build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we are no more a reproach, that we are an embarrassment. This is supposed to be a proud city. And look at us now." It would seem that the Gentiles delighted in mocking their Jewish neighbors by pointing out the dilapidated condition of Jerusalem. Now, listen carefully. After all, the Jews had claimed that their capital city was, quote, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, in Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king, Psalm 48:2. Then again, Psalm 87:2 says, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. It had been a proud city. You know, it's interesting if you listen to my parents 20 years ago, and they would talk about Detroit and how it was once a proud city, far greater population than it has today, and there was so much vibrant things going on. And a city can go downhill. If God loved Jerusalem so much, why were the walls in ruin and the gates burned? Why was the holy city a reproach? Some would say similar things about the church of today. Why does the church seem so weak? Why is it so hard to get God's people to be faithful? Why does it seem that so-called believers want little or nothing to do with God's word, God's house, or God's people? Why are we so much like the children of Israel, having escaped Egypt and facing some difficulty? They were quick to say, oh, that we were back in Egypt. Oh, the diet they had was exciting. But Egypt represented the world. And how often Christians feel like they're missing out on something and they want to go back and act like the world. The purpose of the ministry of the Covenant Baptist Church is to bring glory to the Lord. This outpost of faith of 60-some years has been to deliver the message of our Lord and Savior. Yet why is it so hard to get people to want to be part of the work? Point number two, the pattern of the work. Nehemiah was a leader who planned his work and worked his plan. Someone has well said of Nehemiah, he was a leader of leaders. And that's important that he could accomplish the tasks and he could get people to work. That's not always easy. I have found through the years that when we've had work days at church, we have people that come more for the fellowship than for the work. But work is necessary, and we've been blessed through the years to have men and women that know or have known how to work. For each worker and or family, named or unnamed, their work was important. Nehemiah assigned the teams to work as close to home as possible. Thus, they had a personal interest in building that section of the wall that would defend their own houses and or businesses. Seems like a smart idea. The best security for your children, for your grandchildren, and for your great-grandchildren is a solid network of gospel-preaching churches. Churches that are proclaiming morals, rights and wrongs. That's what we need in America today. Men and women who want to work so that we have good, godly churches. And gospel preaching churches just don't happen. We're supporting four young couples right now desiring to start good, fundamental, Bible-believing churches. And may I say this, people aren't just lining up to come, but that they need help. And we are helping financially as they continue the work. Our enemy is constantly attacking the work and the word of the Lord. And never forget that. we are under constant attack. It's why your pastors need prayer, daily prayer, so that we can continue to get the work done. Point number three, the people of the work. As one reads this chapter and you get acquainted with the various people mentioned, you find yourself saying, this is just like the church today, because thank God for people who are willing to get the job done. To get it done. Not just to watch, not just to be in an advisory situation, but to actually get involved. In every generation, from Abel, Seth, and Enoch, to Noah, to Abraham, to Joseph, to Moses, to Samuel, to David, to the prophets, to John the Baptist, to the disciples of Christ, to Paul, to the martyrs of the faith, to men and women who have stood for the cause of Christ, such as Hudson Taylor, or J. Frank Norris, or John Rawlings, or Henry Morris, men and women who have stood by the stuff, no matter the cost. In every generation, God has had a remnant of people that remained faithful, that have not bent the knee to the idols of the world. And folks, we have many idols in our world today. Now, they may not be put up like the idol that Nebuchadnezzar set up, but they're idols, things that have become more important than the Word of God and the house of God. In every generation, God has used men and women. Here in this chapter, we find that God uses all kinds of people. In this chapter, we find mention of rulers and priests, people from outside the city, like the men of Jericho. We find men and women. We find professional craftsmen, etc. There was a place for everyone and a job for everyone to do. Two, leaders must set the example. In verse 1, we see that the high priest used his hands to do manual labor, hands that were used to doing things that involved things for the temple or for religious things, but now he got to work. Brother Mark Rogers ends his letters with 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And God uses men and women who are willing to be used. Unfortunately, the high priest would not remain faithful. For later, he would ally himself with the enemies of Nehemiah and created serious problems. And not to jump ahead, but relationships because of marriage caused him to go in the wrong direction. Some people who enthusiastically begin their work may drop out or turn against the cause they once strongly supported. Three, some people will not work, as we read there in verse 5, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. And there have always been those who are not willing to get in the work. And that's kind of sad. Four, some people do more than others. Well, we thank God for those who see what needs to be done and do it. Number five, some people work harder than others. In fact, Barak, for instance, earnestly repaired the walls where he worked. He worked hard, even harder than some. I like this verse that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They've addicted themselves. It became part of their life, and it was obvious that they were involved. Number six, the places of work. Nehemiah mentions a number of gates, towers, and other landmarks, beginning with the north wall and finishing on the east wall, and the East Gate, a.k.a. the Eastern Gate, sometimes called the Golden Gate. A list of gates are found here. There's the Sheep Gate. And so people, if they were entering the city and someone would say, where are you going in? They would say the Sheep Gate. There was the Fish Gate. I wonder if they sold fish there. There was the Old Gate. There was the Valley Gate. The Dung Gate. I'm not sure I'd want to live near the Dung Gate. There was the Fountain Gate. That sounds nice. There was Water Gate. The Horse Gate. The East Gate and the Gate of Mithcat. The East Gate. Tradition says that Jesus entered the temple on Palm Sunday through this gate. In the 16th century, the gate was sealed up with blocks of stone by the Turkish Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent. Jewish and Christian tradition both connect that gate with the coming of the Messiah to Jerusalem. The Muslims put a cemetery in front of the gate in a vain attempt to keep the Lord from fulfilling the promise of the Lord came into the house by way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. Some say the Lord will come back to rule for 1,000 years, and that he will enter Jerusalem through the Eastern Gate. In conclusion, Nehemiah 4:6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. May I encourage you, stay in the work. Stay involved in the reading of the Word of God and in prayer. I tell you what, prayer is so important in our world today. Every one of our missionaries writes asking for prayer. In fact, almost every one of them is in a lockdown situation, other than the one in Sweden, where they are not near as concerned about it as in most of the world, though most of the churches have been asked not to meet together. But we find that work is necessary. You know, Jesus is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful, what? Servant. And what does a servant do? A servant works. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the thoughts from Nehemiah. And Lord, we thank you for men and women that are willing to be faithful servants. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.